Hey, you guys. Welcome to another episode of the Introverted Girl Show. We're going to start the year right, and I'm going to play you guys an episode, a bonus episode, actually, that me and my family recorded. It's going to be a little cringe at times, especially for me. But it's going to be an amazing conversation about our struggles with anxiety, as I mentioned before. And I'm excited for you guys to hear our experiences, and maybe you can relate to our story. But a couple of things before we start. This was recorded probably in 2020, so just be aware of that. And also, the audio is going to be quite messed up throughout the video. And also, it's going to have a lot of unedited points because I just wanted to, you know, give us the space to talk without being extra edited. So you're just going to hear us unfiltered and just being who we are amongst each other. And you might see a new side of me. You're going to see a goofier side of me. You're going to see... you're not going to see anything, actually. You're going to hear a goofy side of me and the goofy side of my family as well. So, all right. So keep it locked. We're about to begin. Just remember, the audio was pretty messed up. This was the beginning, and we didn't even know what my podcast is going to be named. So keep that in mind and enjoy the episode. Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us again. This is the Diamond Crew Podcast. Actually, we don't know the real name yet, but we're going with that so far. And we have the Diamond Crew with us, so you guys want to introduce yourselves?
I'm Diamond Crew Mama.
Diamond Crew Brother.
Thank you, thank you. And this is Aaliyah Trine, and we're going to be talking about anxiety today. I know that's really tough to talk about, but this is why we're here. So, with further ado, with no further ado, right?
Right.
Here we go. All right, so today we're gonna switch it up a bit, and we're just gonna get into the topic, and we're not gonna go into the other segments today, guys. Wow, is it? Oh, yeah, that's not your name. We're gonna edit it out. Okay, so we have some questions we want to get to about anxiety, and Diamond Crew Mama has some. What do you have first?
So, how does one identify that they are in the midst of an anxiety attack?
That's an interesting one.
Very interesting.
Why don't you go first, Diamond Crew Mama?
Absolutely. So one of the things that I have experienced personally is fear, loss of control, can't catch my breath. And that's what made me know something's different, something's happening. I think I'm having an anxiety attack.
Wow.
So let me just go into an example. So I recently had an anxiety attack, and I think it stemmed around the political arena and around the election time. And since the beginning of the pandemic, and I think it just was in a pressure cooker, and it decided to just, and I blew up.
Everybody is going through some type of anxiety now because we can't control anything that's happening right now. And that's the part that really gets your fear levels up. Because you don't know what to expect next in this year. Can we all agree on that?
Yeah, we can agree on that.
So, yeah.
Just kind of listening every day to the number of people that are being infected and dying, and in the way they're dying, which is alone.
Yeah.
without their family members, and
you can't even have a funeral for them, you know.
Right. Which was is so overwhelming. And then to have the president of the United States totally ignore that it is even going on, even in the midst of the fact that he contracted the virus himself. And it's like, well, when is the reality going to hit that this thing is real?
Yeah. And it just sucks. I mean, I'm just going to go out and say it. Like, you just wish that he could have gotten it. Well, he did get it, but like, he would have experienced the gravity of the virus, like how everyone else is experiencing it. So he could be like an example of how it could get, so he can see that it's real. But it's like he got over it so fast that he thought he was invincible. Even more so.
Yeah, like, I got it, and it's fine, you know? COVID.
He's not going to steal this podcast away, guys. No. So, next up, Isaiah, like, Diamond Crew brother. We could just say Isaiah, like, your last name. Yeah, we don't know. But, Isaiah, like, what do you feel is... What was the question, Maya?
How do you know when you're in the midst of a
panic attack? I mean, an anxiety attack.
Yeah, how do you know?
Well, you know, mine stems from, you know, worrying about my family. You know, what would happen. And, you know, my mind is crazy and it plays scenarios of what would happen and how I would feel. And,
yeah,
you know, just the whole environment around it. And that, you know, that for me makes the anxiety real, and that would triggers it. And that's how I know I'm in the midst of it.
Yeah.
So.
And I feel like me and Isaiah, like, really share that. Like, we had, a podcast moment a couple
before
months
before the podcast,
ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, about, like, just sharing those same feelings about having a family member go unexpectedly, and what will we do? How will we cope with it? Because we couldn't cope with it. We already know. So that's where our fear stems from the most. Like, unforeseen tragedies happening to us.
Right.
Because we just, I don't know, we don't have that much experience with that. You know?
Yeah, we don't. That close.
And it keeps you from going to sleep.
Yeah,
definitely.
I know we're not allowing 45 to take over the podcast.
Oh, boy.
However, coming from DM, which is the Diamond Crew Mama, when I have to say this though, but when Biden did get that last state, and it was clear that he had won, and won overwhelmingly. Mm-hmm. It almost took away some of the stress.
Yeah.
Which led to the anxiety, I feel, which stems from a lack of control. And again, it's because every day you never know what you're going to wake up to, what you're going to hear. People talking about things reckless.
Yeah.
And it's like it's all lost of reality. And I'm like, what is going on? Am I the only one that is thinking rationally? Like, can everybody get out of
the
and come back to reality?
It's like this whole year was like not reality at all.
Yeah.
It's like a simulation.
Totally.
Everyone
Oh
feels.
My God, yeah. A simulation.
Because every day just feels so weird.
Yeah.
You know? But
the lives we're losing is somewhat
insane,
of a dream.
Insane.
So
but for me, I would say when I always forget this question. What does it feel like when you get an anxiety attack?
Yeah, when you're in the midst of...
How do I know? Okay. I would say I got it a lot when I was in school for some reason. Like, when I was in class and lectures, we'd have moments where the teacher asks us questions. And I was since, like, a a lot of anxiety within myself. Like, I would literally be so nervous, and she hasn't even called on me.
Really?
Because I have a thought in my head, and I'm like, I can't voice it out without thinking about every messing up, stuttering, not getting my point across well. And then yeah, I can't control any of those things, you know, the ending result in those things. So it's like I can't get over the anxiety of it. And then also, like, I'll just have a moment where we call it the physiological side of things, like my heart would start racing.
Yeah.
My hands would get sweaty. And I just, it's so weird. And then I just get into this mode, like, well, we'll get into the coping of it all, but I have to just go to my coping mechanisms, you know? But, yeah, that's when I know I'm in a full anxiety attack.
Yeah.
I'm like shaking, and my, my heart is racing and my breath is like cut short.
Yeah.
But I want to know, what was the first time, like, when was the first time you experienced it, and like, how was that?
Well, for Tammy Crew Mama, the first time that I
know for sure it was a anxiety attack was we were in the midst of building our first home, first in our family, age-wise, and clueless as to the whole process, but just super excited that we had the opportunity and the blessing to do it. Mm-hmm. And it got to a point where we were ready to break ground, and there were some costs associated that we didn't know about, and we needed to pay that amount to keep the process going. And it helped me up at night, where I literally couldn't sleep. So in the midst of the anxiety attack, my left eye kept twitching. I couldn't, like, breathe. My heart rate was just, I feel it was going so fast. And my eyes kept just going around and around and around in my head, I thought. But you ever see when you ever feel like when you close your eyes, you could feel your eyeballs moving from left to right, left to right.
Yeah.
It was feel like it was going so fast, so fast. To the point where I literally had to go to the doctor.
Really?
To get an EKG just to see if I was really having a heart attack or an anxiety attack.
Really?
Yeah.
And then that was the time you fainted?
No.
Oh, okay.
Nope.
Wow.
Yeah.
But
I got an EKG, nothing was wrong. And so I had to find a coping mechanism, which you said we'll get to later.
Yeah.
Were you with Aaliyah Cheney at the time?
No. Nope.
He means, like, pregnant.
Right. Nope.
Interesting. So, like, what do you... Oh, well, yeah. What do you feel like that stemmed from?
That lack of control.
Of, like...
Because I felt like we were doing everything possible. It's almost like trying to keep all the balls in the air, and then one falls. And then you're like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. The fear was so overwhelming. And it just came out of nowhere. Every time it always comes out of nowhere.
As if
it comes from your subconscious.
Because we keep pushing it back in our subconscious, and it's like, no, I'm not going to let you ignore that.
Right.
So we're going to show you some signs to get past it and actually give it a name and a voice.
Right.
Awesome.
Yeah. What else? Isaiah, what was the first time you experienced?
It would have had to have been... it's been so many times I can't even recall anymore.
The first time.
Probably would have to be going to camp, probably.
And what happened at camp?
just the being away from home and not, you know, knowing where I am, I guess. Mm. You know, I was used to, you know, a certain surrounding, and when that changed for me at a young age, I just was like, no. Mm-mm.
That was your first time being, you know, away from home,
right,
without mommy and daddy, right, like, for real, for real.
For real, for real.
Yeah. Wow. And, like, how did you know it was anxiety?
Well, I wasn't eating, that's for sure.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I was not eating at all. I would eat a little bit, but, you know, it was just like, no, I'm good.
So you just felt like you couldn't control your situation and you didn't know where you were.
Yeah.
So it was like you felt uncomfortable.
Exactly. Very uncomfortable.
Wow.
And then when I got home, everything was great.
So you feel more comfortable in familiar situations.
Yeah.
So that's where your anxiety stems. Well, some of them.
Yeah, some of them.
Unfamiliar situations. That makes sense, because the one time you had anxiety at the other school, mm-hmm, it was a very unfamiliar situation.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah.
Right? So for me, the first time I experienced an anxiety attack, I literally thought I was going to die. So I think I was on the couch over there. I'm pointing to over there. And we were watching Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, my goodness.
And I don't know what it was. You know how crazy that show is. Y'all know how crazy that is.
Especially back in the day.
Every single second, drama, drama, drama in that hospital. Yeah. So, I don't know. One second, something was... You know how, like, the beeping will go on the monitor?
Mm-hmm.
That really got to me. And then I just couldn't breathe. And I was, like, really trying to grasp for air. I was like, what is happening to me? I don't know what's happening. Yeah. And I felt like I was in an alternate universe at that second.
Yeah,
and
I'm like, body. Yeah.
This is so uncomfortable. Like, I can't breathe. Yeah. And I just feel like this isn't real. And I don't know why that was. I feel like it's because during that time, I was, like, back and forth to the hospital for my surgery that I had back then. And as a kid, I think I was probably, like, 12.
Yeah.
11 or 12.
Yeah.
And I didn't know how to, like, cope with those feelings of being back and forth in the hospital. And then to have a trigger like that on a show, I think it all came to a head. Because I would always, like, push that to the back of my mind, like, oh no, nothing's gonna happen, nothing's gonna happen. And then building up to that surgery is like, so I think that's where that stemmed from, the very first time of me having it. You didn't know that, huh, Mom?
Learns something new every day, huh?
Yeah, moving on, I had... Well, we already hit on what ways does anxiety show up for us. So I'll ask, what do you think, or why do you think there's a stigma on anxiety in society? And then I'll just ask the next question later.
Stigma how?
People assume that you're crazy or something wrong with you. There's a lot of times. I mean, I know now the world is, like, so accepting.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, before social media and everything,
yeah,
I feel like if you're having, like, a little anxiety attack, you would be looked at like, oh, my God, what is wrong with
her? I think everybody has had at least one time had anxiety. They just didn't know what to call it or what it was. So they just, you know, like, normal... ignorant people, they would just name it as you're insane.
Or you're weird or something.
Or you're weird. And it's completely normal. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I think that's what that stems from. And that's where the stigma comes from.
I like that idea. What do you think, Mommy?
I agree. Because no one wants to
associate themselves with mental...
Instability.
Yeah.
And you yourself don't want to feel that way.
Yeah.
Because it is such a vulnerable state.
Yeah.
and you want to be strong. You want to be able to project strength, mm-hmm. and that you got it together. And the reality is, sometimes you don't have it together. Yeah.
Yeah,
and it's okay.
Yeah, you gotta be okay with that. Yeah.
Yeah, I want to get to the part where we talk about the coping mechanisms. Yeah. Once you have identified that you're even in the midst of the storm of a anxiety attack,
What do you do, mommy?
Well, now looking back on, I know that that's really what it is. And I wasn't clinically diagnosed as having an anxiety attack, but it's clear what it was. I realized that praying, though, and I know this is cheeky to some people, or seriously, but truly, once I'm in the... Okay, and that breathing is so uncontrollable, and that fear, I literally brace myself and pray. Mm-hmm. I just start praying right away. Mm-hmm. Once I recognize that that's it and it's not just a dream.
Yeah. Right.
Because sometimes, you know, you be thinking you dreaming and it's like, oh no, like my eyes are open.
Right.
This ain't no dream.
Right.
Where we do that at? And then so I say, you know what? Let me pray. I use like little pieces of scripture that gives me strength and gives me comfort, because that's what you're really aiming for, is to have a soft place to land,
right?
And to get in your comfort zone.
Scriptures, just for the listeners.
For one, I say that fear is not of God. Fear is evidence appearing real.
Mm.
Fear is false evidence.
Mm. Mm. False evidence, mm-hmm.
appearing real.
Fear.
So I know that fear is not of God. So I keep telling myself, you know, God, I need you. I need the strength. I need you, Lord. And then I say that fear is false evidence appearing real. And I keep saying that over and over. And then I start thanking God for, you know, my family. And I name each person by their name. And then, mm-hmm. I thank God for all of the blessings, and I start naming the blessings that I had during, mm-hmm. that day.
Yeah.
And then before I know it, I've calmed myself down, because I guess I've deflected. And and then now I feel like I'm not in the eye of the storm anymore.
Yeah, because, mm-hmm. you're literally like...
When you get your mindset from the anxiety to something that comforts you, like you said.
Yeah.
And that's what that I do. But what do you do, Isaiah? To cope with anxiety.
I just shut it down.
What do you mean, shut it down?
I completely go to something else and think about something else. Or I do something that would take my mind off of it. But I don't harp on it too much. Yeah, I mean, I ask Lord, you know, keep my mind and keep my heart and just guide me, and... He does it, mm-hmm. every time. And when I just blank that out of my mind, it goes away.
Yeah. So for me, I like that, Isaiah.
Doesn't happen all the time, but in most cases, yeah. In most majority cases, yeah.
Because other times you probably just got to face whatever's going on.
Got to face what's going on.
Yeah, that makes sense. For me, I cope, which... I also have some cheat codes because I was a psychology major. So we talk about these things all the time. So some of the things I do when I have my anxiety, I do my breathing exercises, because, and it's called the 4-6-4. So what we do is you breathe in for 4 seconds, you hold it at 4, and then you release for 6 seconds, and you continue to do that. And that eventually triggers your relaxation response in your body and your brain. And also it switches your mindset into something that's physiological, that's helping your body to continue on, which is breathing. Gets more oxygen to your brain.
Yeah.
4-6-4.
4-6-4 breathe in exercise. You breathe in for 4 seconds.
Breathe in for 4 seconds.
1, 2, 3, 4. Hold it. And then you let it go for 6 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then you keep doing it again for 4 seconds. It takes a while to get your lungs built up to do that because sometimes I feel lightheaded, but it definitely deflects your mind to something that works. And then also, if my anxiety is like very chronic, which means like it's continuous for multiple days or weeks, I then just go to my meditation app and I just do meditation for the night.
Yeah, I definitely do meditation too. ASMR really helps as well.
Oh, ASMR.
Yeah.
I knew there was something else that you do.
I completely slipped my mind.
Yeah.
ASMR? Well, it is a meditation relaxation. ASMR really stands for autonomous meridian sensory response. So what that does, it taps into, like, you know, we get tingles from, you know, either listening to a good song or chills.
Yeah.
That's what it taps into. And it essentially, when you're trying to relax, it relaxes you. And it helps you go to sleep also. So
it's definitely an acquired taste, I would
say. It really does help. It really does help. Or you can listen to like rain sounds or waves.
Yes, definitely need my rain sounds. Anything that brings you comfort, go right to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. Soothing.
Soothing
is a great another, you know, thing that you want to put in your pocketbook, so to speak, when because sometimes the same thing don't always work. So it's always good to have in your pocket a couple of things that you could kind of, you know,
throw on the table.
Throw in the table.
When the tables are turning.
Yes. At the table.
At
the table.
But I also, one last thing, like, with anxiety, I will say I've been trying to turn to journaling and just putting down.
I have seen that.
What is bothering me? Like, give it a name, see it physically on paper, because also you want to see your growth from the last, you know, time that you had.
And also cringe as well.
Cringe. And then you just thank God that you got through it.
Yeah.
You had another day, you know? So, yeah, definitely just focusing on the issue at hand that's causing this anxiety is very helpful for me.
Yeah.
Nice. And then,
nice.
But what else? Do you have any other questions, Mommy, on your phone?
I don't. I think I put, how do you fear and loss of control. So those were the examples that I felt. Mm-hmm. But you guys addressed those super, super, uber good.
Yeah.
With like using breathing techniques or the AMSI.
ASMR.
Oh, ASMR. How did I get the I? I don't know.
I guess that kind of sounds like an I.
The rain is another good thing, like you said. So those ones I'm going to put in my piggy bank.
Yeah, meditation, breathing exercises.
Yes.
Triggers that relaxation response. Especially when you go before bed and you want your brain to turn off.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
Go right to those.
Yeah.
ASMR and breathing exercises, I would say. That's what I would do.
Oh, yeah. And of course, prayer.
Yes, it's the most number one important thing.
Number uno.
Yes, prayer.
Number uno.
Helps.
Not.
Yes. Dos. The comfort of God.
Uno.
Yes.
Oh.
This has been fun, guys.
It's been great. And
that sums it up.
Yeah, pretty much. And I'll just give my takes at the end. You know what it is. So, wasn't that amazing?
We just got to learn more about each other the whole time we were talking, and I learned so much about our struggles as a family that I didn't even know. Like, that's the beauty of this podcast. Like, we get to, you think you know your family, everything about them, and until they, you know, tell them that they've had bouts of anxiety. And a lot of people think that they're the only person battling it. It's definitely a silent struggle. And we think that we're the only person in a room struggling, when you never know. There's multiple people in the room that's struggling with the same thing that you are. And that's the beauty and the curse of it all. So that's what this podcast is about. It's trying to branch the communication of, you know, just keeping your struggles silent, especially amongst Black families, because anxiety is never talked about within our community at, you know, on a big level. You know what I'm saying? Like, we definitely push anxiety and mental health under the rug a lot of the time, by just saying, oh, we'll pray it away, oh, we'll read your Bible or something like that, which is all cool. If reading the Bible does help calm your anxiety, but it's important to also use the gifts that God gave you and to look into your insight and your intuition of it's telling you, you need to address what's causing your anxieties and to talk about it. How about that? Just talk about it with another person, because you never know, they might can relate to your story. So with that being said, I hope you guys really understand how important it is to address your anxieties and to know that you're not alone in it at all. Yeah, I mean, I've struggled with anxiety, social anxiety, a lot of the time, and I'm not going to say I'm an expert about it, but I can talk about my experiences with it. And I've battled, you know, being in big crowds of people I don't know, because I think this is my solution that I can think of for me. I think it is because I can't control what is going on or what's around me. I can't control for who's around me when I'm in big crowded parties or something like that, because I don't know everybody. I don't know their story. I don't know what can trigger them into doing something that I have no control over. And my biggest anxiety inducer or trigger is not being able to control something, and to control the outcome more specifically. So yeah, that's something I have to keep telling myself to work on, is to understand I can't control something, and it's not my job to worry about what I can't control. So yes, I would definitely give that to you guys as homework. If you cannot control the outcome or anything about it, do not put your energy into it or stress yourself out about the situation if you cannot control what your actions are, or especially somebody else's actions. There's no need to stress about it. Only worry about what you can control. That's the only thing you can worry about, because that's only what's worth giving your energy to. So with that being said, I'll leave it on that note. Please stay tuned for the next episode. And we'll be back.